Our Bible reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 20, verse 1 through to verse 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon, and about 3 in the afternoon, and did the same thing. And about 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. And he asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I'm not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I'm generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Let's pray together. God, our Father, creator of all things, true source of light and wisdom, we come to you. As you call us again to faith, plant your word in our hearts. Let a ray of your light penetrate the darkness of our understanding. Give to us confidence in the power of your gospel and grant us clarity of understanding. Empower us to live in the light of the gospel, embodying its truth through our actions, and in our love for you and love for one another, let God be seen. Amen. One of the things that I'm involved in as a counselor, is it okay to walk or will I go out of picture? I'll stay still. I'll do my best. I'm used to kind of walking about, but it doesn't work when you're on live view. One of the things I've been involved in is I'm involved in helping people with the cost of living crisis. And I'm on a special committee which is trying to help people just now. And this week, I was involved in speaking to that group of people and to lots of organizations from across Renfrewshire. And I spoke about the recent Joseph Rowntree Foundation report, which is on poverty in Scotland in 2022. And it begins with this quote from a daughter and a troubled mum. "Why can't we get more food, mummy?" And I broke down in tears and just left the room because I just couldn't answer her. But to have to explain to your 5-year-old why you can't buy more food is actually horrendous. The report found that nearly 1 in 5 families on low incomes have already gone hungry and cold. That single parents and families where someone is disabled face a dire situation. That the mental health of the majority of households we already knew were at risk has worsened, and that most people think things are going to get worse. And it's just a few weeks since the Herald newspaper shocked us with a report that NHS Greater Glasgow and Clyde, that in this area, the admissions of children with acute malnutrition has gone up from 572 to 1,000. This is the cost of living crisis. And all of us kind of feel it, I think, have a bit of anxiety about our heating bills and our mortgages and all the other things which are happening. Is there anything that Jesus can teach us to help us at this time? Well, lots, I think, but I've chosen a parable because parables are often that part of Jesus' teaching that bring God into the everyday. And I like it when God comes into the everyday. And through imagination, they help us and lead us to see that God can be with us in that everyday. The traditional title of this parable, which I read, is The Laborers in the Vineyard. But titles can be misleading as they focus on one aspect of a story. This parable has multiple characters. There's a householder, that's really a better name for the landlord, the workers, the manager. Multiple settings, a vineyard and a marketplace, and multiple timing. The timing goes from early morning through to the evening and comes eventually to the time of the payment. The parable describes this landowner, this householder, who goes out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. About 6 a.m., he contracted with a group of workers for a denarius, which translates usually as a daily wage. And workers needed that daily wage because they didn't get paid salaries like people do today. They needed that daily wage to feed their families and to make sure that life would be okay. And so this landowner eventually doesn't send somebody else. He goes out himself. He goes out again at 9, then 3, and then 5. When sunset arrives, he orders his foreman to pay the workers, beginning with the last hired. The manager gives the last hired the usual daily wage. The first hired believed that since they had worked much longer, they would receive more pay. Yet they are paid the same amount. Distressed, they grumble that the householder has been unfair. And the landowner then, he strikes back. He says, take what is yours and get out. The parable wraps up with another one of these deeply challenging sayings of Jesus. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. In the Bible, the vineyard is often identified with the place of divine activity, and often with Israel itself. And so clearly Jesus is directing his listeners to see the landowner as both analogous to God and as a model for followers of Jesus. In this way, the parable becomes a call to you and me to act as God does. And it addresses issues of exclusion and inclusion, generosity and envy, and jealousy and justice. Since his wife died, Thomas has experienced deep loneliness and isolation. He felt left out of the groups he and his wife had attended together. He felt unlistened to and excluded by the society he had given so many good years to as an engineer. Truth be told, he was more than a little bit depressed. On top of this came COVID and the subsequent shut-ins. But then something rather good happened. Someone phoned him from the community hub and spoke to him every day. And he felt like he'd got a new friend because they had this chat which went on. And then a neighbor brought him his shopping because he couldn't go out. He was vulnerable. He couldn't go out himself. So somebody brought his shopping. And he had this conversation through the window. Remember these conversations used to have with people through a window? And so he felt involved again. However, since the opening up again of things, and the anxiety which is there for people in the cost of living crisis, which he feels deeply, Things have reverted close to what it was like before. And Thomas is feeling let down and left out again. I know in my last church, shortly before I retired, when COVID came, the leaders took lists of all the people in the congregation and they phoned them once a week. And this was interesting because what they discovered was there were people in the congregation they didn't know. And they hadn't had these kind of conversations with them before. And suddenly they discovered that they got to know people that were there. And, you know, everybody sits in their own seats. And you kind of come back. And usually, I don't know if that happens here, but in most churches I've been in, people kind of go back to the same kind of place in the church they've always sat in. And so the people over here don't know the people over here that well. And so people started to get to know each other during COVID because the leaders were phoning them and speaking to them. And what I thought then was that people can come and sit in church and be here every week, but not feel included. And that's a real challenge to us, to make sure that people feel included. Have you asked people? How do you feel? Do you feel part of us? Are we part of the community? So this is a parable where the left out, those standing for hour after hour in the marketplace until hope is almost crushed and gone that they'll get any work that day, be able to feed their families that day, till they're almost, you know, imagine lasting from 6 a.m. in the morning to 5 o'clock at night just waiting to see if you can get some work. They were there and they felt left out. They weren't the first choice, they weren't the second choice, they weren't even the third choice until they're brought into the vineyard. I have vivid memories of these times when I was a youth and when two people were given the task of choosing the football team. Some of you guys might remember this kind of scenario. And you're standing there waiting to be chosen, hoping that you won't be the last person to be chosen for the team. And then sometimes I would get the task of being the person who chose. And I always tried to make sure that those guys who were always the last people to be chosen weren't last when I was choosing, because I just thought it must be terrible always to be the last person. But then you thought, I'm going to lose. But did that really matter? In Jesus, we consistently see that the last will be first as he brings into the community the sick, the hated tax collectors. He brings in women. Not surprising to us these days, but in his day, that was surprising. And others who would be excluded by the religious and the traditions of his day. Yesterday, in a church not too far from here, I was singing, not solo, singing with a congregation. Let us build a house where love can dwell and all may safely live, a place where saints and children tell how hearts learn to forgive, built of hopes and dreams and visions, rock of faith and vault of grace. Here the love of Christ shall end divisions. All are welcome. All are welcome. All are welcome in this place. Jesus challenges us in the way that he brings the excluded into the center through his words and through his actions in life to be a people who welcome people and make the effort to make sure that people are included. And that's really important. We can't solve all the financial problems of people in our communities, but we can talk to them. We can hear their anxieties. We can include them. Clearly, in this parable, Jesus is encouraging landowners to enact the graciousness of God by speaking of a vineyard owner who generously assisted some needy day laborers. The owner is a role model, but he also speaks to the reaction of the grumbling workers, who, although they were fairly treated, started to complain. It can happen, you know. Goodness meets with envy and complaint, as it can so often. Why is goodness often the occasion for anger? Just look at social media today. People do good things, and people complain. Why do we find it so difficult to rejoice over the good that enters into other people's lives? And why do we spend our time calculating how we have been cheated? Soren Kierkegaard, the Danish theologian, philosopher, poet, and social critic, said this on the sin of comparison. And he says it fits well with this parable. The life of God's kingdom, with its focus on communal love, cannot be experienced as long as we are comparing ourselves with others and calculating what is due to us or being envious of what others receive. Sometimes while we speak of justice, we ourselves are not satisfied with average. We always think we deserve a little more. And so there needs to be, to build our community, not a grumbling, not a complaining, but an accepting of each other. The parable then calls us to justice, a justice that requires positive action, seeking the good for all persons, especially the needy. True justice, at least God's justice, seeks mercy and ways to express love. In the parable about the goodness of God, it gives up jealousy and calculation and reward. This will mean that we give up the quest to be first, knowing that God's standards are different. Here the parable will not allow us to construct a scheme of calculating hierarchies, assigning relative values to people or work. That's one of the most challenging things for me, because it's so easy to judge people, isn't it? And to think, I'm better than them. You know, I work harder than they work. You know, I'm more deserving than they are. And Jesus challenges us to receive people just as they are and not to be judgmental, but to accept people. So this parable, as often Jesus' stories, it's not just a nice little story, is it? It's one which actually deeply challenges us in how we seek to relate to the other. In a cost of living crisis, Jesus calls you and I to seek to ensure that people are not left behind or not left out, to see that everyone is valued and cared for, and to personally face the challenge of being generous even when we ourselves are facing the anxiety of not having so much money. Now, there's a challenge. I always find it a challenge to give money away when you're feeling that money's tight. That's hard. I love the fact that you're supporting the Lodging House mission and things. For 10 years, I was chief exec of Glasgow City Mission and worked there, so I know the Lodging House mission work well, working with the homeless people in the streets of Glasgow and with lots of other people, drug addicts and other people who were working there. And just to see people received and accepted in places like that is a great joy. So your challenge is to receive each other, for the people over here to get to know the people over there. That's part of the challenge. And we want to have a church where people feel valued and included, and that spreads out into the community as it goes. Amen. God of peace, you have shown us that your will for the world is that people should live in justice and peace. You have given us a vision of hope where all humanity lives in that wholeness of life for which we have been created. And so we pray for our world torn apart by conflict and fear, where peoples and nations are divided from one another by suspicion, aggression, and greed, by injustice, oppression, and powerlessness. So we pray especially today for our government and those in authority in these challenging times. You have called your church to be a sign of hope in a world without hope, a healing community in a broken world. Enable us through your Holy Spirit to be that people. Create in us a vision of unity and hope, of love, generosity, and sharing, that we might indeed be light in the darkness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.